This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. I've said it many times on this show. One of the professions I respect the most is the profession of educator, teacher. I am the child of two educators myself, and I've got lots of teachers in my extended family, which is why when I heard the story of Susie Slider, I kind of hung my head down and shook it from side to side, because I think what happened to Susie Slider is indicative of an ongoing problem we have in our educational system today. Susie basically has spent most of her adult life teaching young children. She has been doing it for more than two decades now, most recently in the Cambridge, Massachusetts school district, where she was teaching kindergarten. But recently she wrote a resignation letter that essentially said, you know what, I can't take it anymore. I can't take the emphasis on testing. I can't take the decreased emphasis on children. And so she quit. Here to talk about why she did that and what's happening in our classrooms that's gone wrong is Susie Slider. Welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to be here.
When I say too much emphasis on testing, is this all part of the last decade's emphasis on No Child Left Behind?
I think it began with No Child Left Behind, and it has just grown. And it took a while to reach the kindergarten and pre-K level where I have been for years, but it has definitely taken hold at that level as well as all the others.
So we're testing our kids within an inch of their life, and from what I read in your resignation letter, you also weren't able to spend as much time in the classroom as you wanted to anymore, right?
That's true.
So yes, tell me how things changed. When you started doing this a quarter century ago, what was an average day like for you? How much time were you spending with the kids?
Oh, I was in the classroom all the time. I was there with them for morning meeting and for activities after morning meeting. When we went outside, I was with them the whole time outside. You know, we'd come back in, do more group activities, either around literacy or math or science. I was always there and there for their lunch period. I'd have breaks when they would go to specialists, like when they went to music class or when they had art or gym. And my assistant teacher would be with them at that point usually. But all the class time, I was there.
Okay. And what's it been like the last couple of years?
Oh, it's changed so dramatically. There have been so many different things that have taken teachers out of the classroom, pre-K and kindergarten, as well as all the other grades, during the school day. It's hard to even describe because it is so fractured. It's hard to account for all the times that we are out of the classroom. Our assistant teachers in kindergarten in Cambridge, Massachusetts, we have an assistant teacher that's full-time in every classroom. Thank goodness, because when we're out of the classroom, they are in the teacher role. And they have taken on so much responsibility without, you know, a change in their pay or their job description. So it's, I think the main things that have taken us out of the classroom are the amount of time it takes to assess children now in literacy and in math and in general assessments and in early screening. Those things happen. It used to be that they would happen once or twice a year in a big way, and then it started happening three times a year, and then it was really hard to say when it wasn't happening in one way or another. And then there are all the behavior problems that happen when a child is in a classroom that's very stressed with one teacher who's not fully trained, very experienced often as an assistant teacher, but not fully trained. And it's hard to be very consistent when you have so many young children in one classroom and one adult. So there are a lot of inconsistencies. There are struggles with children just trying to cope with a system that's stressing them in a way that is an overburden. So those behaviors require teachers to spend a tremendous amount of time problem solving, working with their families, meeting with other specialists, going out for those kinds of meetings. Then there are just the IEP meetings, the typical IEP meetings, which I guess were there before. Those are a big part of a teacher's life, going to meetings around children who have special needs that require special attention.
All right. I have a couple of questions about what you just brought up, mostly about the behavior problems, because it sounds to me like you're saying the fact that you were not there in the classroom as much as you used to be, because now you've got to go to a meeting or a training session or whatever it is that takes you out for a couple of hours a day out of a relatively short kindergarten day, was having a detrimental effect on these students. Because was the parent, the student-teacher bond broken by this?
Oh, absolutely. It's I found that in the most remarkable way happening last year and the year before, when I was out of the classroom enough that I noticed that my children in the classroom, when I would go back, were going to my assistant teacher most of the time for this and that, because she was the teacher they bonded with the most. They knew her. She was there regularly. That was shocking to me. You know, all along in my experience, it had been very much, working with an assistant teacher in the classroom, and we're both there all the time, that the children would pretty evenly go to both of us for when they had needs of one kind or another. And it was remarkable to me that I was almost as seen as a specialist coming into the classroom at times.
Wow. Now, you talked about the fact that all of this is being done so that we can get more and more assessments of the progress of our children. 10 years ago, before this started, or maybe 15 years ago, you've been doing this long enough that we can go back into a pretty extended timeline. Take me back 15 years ago. Did you have trouble assessing your students' progress then?
No. Assessments have been happening, at least in my district. I can only speak about my own experience, of course, and I know it varies widely across the U.S., but I know that early childhood educators have been learning how to and using authentic assessment in our classrooms since I learned about it when I was in graduate school, before I went into the classroom. You know, so for a very long time, the National Association for Educators for Young Children, NAUIC, has been doing trainings in early childhood around this type of assessment for years. So there are very powerful, authentic assessments that we were using way before that involve careful observation and documentation of child-student work and behaviors in the classroom that are helpful immediately in informing a teacher's practice.
But from what I've read in your writing, they are constantly putting new systems in there, new ways to assess, and sometimes that new system is only in place for a year or two before they throw it out and put a new one in.
That's true.
And you got to get retrained about that, more time out of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And not for more pay, by the way. Come in on the weekends, but we're not going to pay you more.
Exactly. And more the assessments that were being thrown, it feels like they are being thrown at us from different directions, come without training.
Is this pressure coming from politicians, administrators, or parents?
Oh, I would say it comes directly to us from our administrators, not coming from parents. It's not coming from parents. Mostly I hear parents fed up with how many assessments and tests that their children have to go through and how stressed their children are. But teachers aren't looking for these, as far as I know. But, administrators hand them to us. We recognize that they do not come from or originate with our administrators. Mostly they come from the state and the federal level.
You wrote in your resignation letter, "I felt my spirit, my passion as a teacher, slip away. I felt anger rise inside me." Good teachers have that passion, and yours was slipping away. What are you going to do now, Susie?
I actually took a leave of absence this school year because I was offered a job in another location in a private setting that's connected with a university locally. And so I decided I was given a leave of absence to try this out, and I am currently teaching and will continue to. I love to teach. And so I decided this February, when I was required to hand in either a letter of resignation or letter of intent to return to the Cambridge Public Schools, I decided to resign.
Well, you know what? We don't have enough really good teachers. I have a feeling you are one of them, and I'm sorry we lost you, but I wish you luck, and I thank you for coming on to share your story today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. This is America Weekend. America Weekend.